So what do we do today to walk in that favor? Friends, if you want to know, begin to read the first four Gospels of the Bible, and you'll begin to understand your role as a person today. I'll give you some hints, so you'll go and look it up. He said to be like-minded, walk together and agree together. That's marriage. That's your job. Learn to agree with people, even those that you would disagree with. He said to love your neighbor as yourself. Love them better than you love you. And that's hard, but it can be done. Greater love hath no man than this, than he would be willing to lay down his life for someone else. There is a right living. God wants you to live. And right living often is lost when we try to fight the fight on our own. Every day that you say, I've got this, I'm not going to do it today, whatever that is, I'm not going to let it get to me, and you start trying to fight this without God instead of praying, your right living is directly attacked, and you're no longer feeling the cloak of righteousness around you. And in your vulnerabilities that are exposed, the devil's going to come for it. There was some reports that came out in the National Football League a few years ago about how one of the championship football teams had put out bounties to go after people that had been injured before, and they would go out and try to tackle those vulnerabilities, and whoever did it got a amount of money. Needless to say, they know now that that was obviously wrong, and there's been a lot of them that have had to face the consequences of their actions. The devil don't play clean. He's looking for what you will expose of your weakness. But you know, your weakness is clothed and covered when you live righteously. And the walk of righteousness, the active walk of righteousness, is holiness. Holiness is what is presented unto the world. Righteousness is what you cover to keep you from within. Inner self, inner peace. You live right to combat the lust of your flesh. You live right to draw others to Christ. Some of the people I've drawn to Christ had been an enemy in my previous life. People that have came to me and saw a difference were people I used to sling drugs to. People that have been around me now see something that's different in me. Because what I present is not my respect, but it's God's respect. You see, God has no respect to a person. So what you will do the best that you can with your life, He'll respect it just as much as He would in mine. What made the offerings different that caused this to begin with? That which was within Him desired to have the world more than the desire to give God His best. And this desire exposed His weakness, which was jealousy and envying. And in this exposure of His weakness, the enemy brought Him unto wrath to destroy His brother. Is this coming together for you? I'm going to go through one more round of it, and I'm going to sit down. I want you to get a hold of this. If you learn when that first temptation comes up, and I'm talking about falling into your comforts. Sometimes I've been sad before and found myself eating a lot of food, man. And when I used to smoke, when I'd get real stressed out, I'd go and smoke. And when I was into drugs, obviously you know what would happen in that situation. And you know, when you don't have the comforts of your past and you're a new creature, then when you start getting pushed on and attacked, you're trying to find some other kind of comfort. Because it's a natural element of human instinct to look for comfort in something. But oftentimes it's not God. Oftentimes we don't pray. Oftentimes we'll let this that is in here begin to be built up. And when the devil sees that he's coming just for you, you'll say to yourself, if they say one more thing, you're thinking to yourself, just do it one more time. And here comes the enemy. He sees that and off he comes. He's pushing your buttons and off he goes. And then whatever happens then is most definitely not God's will for what he wanted you to do. And we lose that battle. But let's go back to where do you see the pattern? When we get afflicted, we are oppressed. But read these scriptures. He said he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he what? Opened not his mouth. He didn't say anything. There's something to be said about that. Yeah, you might be down about it. Yes, you might be attacked. But if you can let God have it to the point where you're not exposing outside of your righteousness, your weakness, that means telling everybody that somebody made you mad, complaining about everything instead of seeking inner peace with God, we're then exposing something the devil can get. You understand? Righteousness is the cloak and covering of your weakness. If you learn to live right and wear it, the devil can find no place therein to come in. And he'll have to find a new way. My question for you is, do you think you can do it? Well, I'm going to go ahead and answer on your behalf. Through Christ, you can do all things. Through Christ, you can do all things. When you live in righteousness, God's favor upon you produces holiness, or something that can be beheld that produces conviction in your surroundings. Inner conviction is, I don't need to be listening to that. I'm going to turn it off. Inner conviction is, I don't need to be watching that because what will they think of me if they find me watching that? Inner conviction is, I'm not going to complain about my boss to the coworker that shares the same boss because it causes division. Inner conviction is when God is trying to talk to those things that are in here. These battles, these personal things, those are the things that the Bible was talking about when he said, if you can be faithful over this stuff that's in you, these inner battles that nobody else needs to see you fight, these inner battles that you need to get dominion over. He said, if you can take care of these things, he said, I'll go and demand justice and recompense from the enemy. I'll go, and everything else that you've lost will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and it's what? It's righteousness. Seek God for peace that you can live right. And when you live right, the devil can't find a place to dwell. Some people say, well, I've got to be working in the gifts before I'm ever going to get it together. You've just got to start living right to see things begin to turn around. People might be talking bad about you, cursing against you, causing you to feel this big. But if you can just hold it together and keep yourself together and not let them see your weakness, God will go forth and convict them. External conviction is they see what they've done to you, but yet they know within them they shouldn't have. External conviction is when they see you praising God, even though they know that you're in pain. External conviction of the lost and dying world is seeing a body of believers that will praise God even when they don't have, even when they're hurting, and when they need something. People are looking for refuge, but all that they see is our weakness. People are looking for a church they can go to full time, but all they see is what we expose. They see the things that we're not happy with. We come in unhappy. We can't praise God. Why would they ever return to a church that is unhappy? Why would they ever go to a place where they can't see the goodness of God in us? But we spill our guts on Facebook and let everybody know our situation. I'm going to go ahead and just put this right on the button. You go ahead and try it. There's nothing good that's going to come from it. It's not like you don't have the right to say it, but you know, the further you expose your problems, the farther the devil can see you coming, and he's going to come after and destroy your life. He don't play fair. But if you can hang on through the suffering, God will see the cries out of the ground, and he'll see what you have lost, what you have shed, what you have suffered through, and he'll make the enemy answer. And how is that? He said that he would have our enemies to be at peace with us. That means that he'll even cause your enemy to give back what he has taken from you. He'll cause your enemy to say they're sorry for the way they wronged you. He'll even cause the enemy to give you goods that you're needing out of their own goods. He has moved for people all in the scripture in the most peculiar of ways. He delivered people that were ensnared on every side just by having Jehoshaphat do the right thing. He delivered them out of captivity and brought them through the wilderness and through everything just because they did the right thing. The right thing being the righteous thing to do. Hearing God and obeying God. Prophets that felt abandoned, that were even as far as in caves and said, I'm all alone. He said, there's thousands that have not bowed. There is not a time we are alone. Will you share your struggle with me? Will we work together and not apart? Will we learn to fight this battle together? You know what the battle is that it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? The battle is righteousness. You're not fighting a fight to try to win against somebody. You're fighting the fight to keep inner peace in you. These things are not against flesh and blood. These things you will not find if you win against telling somebody off. These things will not bring you hope and joy, but hanging on a little while, enduring these things for a little while. He said, though you're weeping, endure for the night. Joy comes up. It's going to come. I'm preaching exactly what God has given me. I've not left a thing out of this. And for those of you that feel like you are absolutely just crushed to the bottom, realize that that blood that you have lost, and I'm talking figuratively, I'm talking about the things that have hurt you, the things that have discouraged you, those things that are suffering, God recognizes it. And if you can just still be right in his eyes by living right and doing the best you can, that's when God gives us his respect. He said the meek would inherit the earth. The humble, those that will open not their mouth to walk in innocence, even when you have been done wrong, is where the blessed walk. Narrow is the way that leads to life, because nobody wants to walk the path to get there. But if you will, somebody else will get touched. Some life will be touched. Your children, somebody will be touched. Your co-workers will see something different in you. The very first day I started at my job, I went in and I just got into it, and I'm like working as much as I possibly can. I can't do any more than I'm doing. I'm taking it home with me. I'm working as hard as I can. But there are a lot of people, they don't even know me. They don't know that I'm married. They don't know anything about me, but they know there's something different in me. Because they say, "Brother, I don't know how you're doing it. Brother, how did you figure that out? Brother, how are you able to keep all of these things balanced in your life?" And me, I can't. Me, I get frustrated. But as long as I cover my weakness with the blood of Christ, that is your righteousness. When I cover it with Him, I can do it. I can do it. And the devil can't find anything to attack me with. Sometimes we like to work up. Have you ever started feeling bad? This is silly. You ever started feeling bad and you weren't really to tears yet, but then you just started thinking about more sad things to bring yourself, work yourself up to get to where you can just boo-hoo? Did you feel any better when you did that? Chances are you probably didn't. I only feel better when I have a positive release. God is in the business of positive release. He said in the last days, "I'll pour out a positive release upon all flesh." That is the Spirit of God. It is to help you. It's your comfort. It's positive. When you pray to God, you find peace. When you pray to God, you find peace, right? That's where it begins. You pray for peace. You live your daily life in a way that honors God. And by you opening not your mouth and suffering a little bit, the cries of your pain, God recognizes and He'll take care of you. But it is important and expedient that you understand that you don't have to try to fight this anymore by yourself. Don't walk in fear. A perfect love, it takes care of what you're afraid of. That love of God comes when you're praying for peace. The byproduct of peace is the warmth of His love. When I, at the end of the day, my wife knows I work hard, and there has to be a peace in her that knows that I'm coming home at the end of the day and that I'm going to do all that I can do to help her. There's a peace and a love out of that. And there's respect that comes from that. In just the same way, I know she works just as hard at her job, and she definitely deals with a lot more difficult circumstances than I do. But for her efforts, I respect her and love her that she helps. And that's what God wants out of you as a part of whatever body that you go and be a part of at any church. He wants you just to live your life right and keep those things that the devil would try to attack you in here, and find peace. And through that peace, you can be, as it says, a living example or a living sacrifice. This is how God wants us to be presented. That is what made Abel's sacrifice better. It was presented with his best, even when he would suffer from what he would lose when he gave it away. That is what makes it different. That is what gained the respect of God. Are you willing to give your best, even unto loss? That is what made Abraham stand out when he almost gave up his son. Are you willing to give the best, even when it causes you to be at a loss? I lose my time every time I preach. Do you know that? I lost a little bit of money getting my car here to show up and preach. I lost time at home to get here tonight. I lost time that I could have been out on the boat and enjoying the lake, brother. But I'm here tonight because I care. And the enemy would love for me to get everybody's phone number and instead of calling to encourage them, to call them and say, "You know what? I don't like my life and I can't stand it. And I can't stand such and such and such and such. And don't you know, that they don't ever seem to do anything good." And you just begin in this pattern of negativity. And before you ever even realize it's happened, the devil's already got you. And there are empty pews tonight because of this very reason. There are empty pews tonight because of people that have let the enemy see their weakness. And rather than seeking God in prayer, they have gave in to when he come to consume them. So how do we bring them back? We don't let them hear our mouth, right? We don't let them see us trying to fight our own fight. We let them see the demonstration of the peace of God. I talked about it Friday night. I am at peace with my life. I'm content. If I didn't wake up tomorrow, I'm content. If I don't have another blessing from God, I'm content. And when people see my life, I don't want them to see the part of me that complains about what I don't have. What good will it do for anybody to see that in us? There's nothing to convict this lost world. out of complaint. God doesn't bless the murmuring. He blesses the silence. I already preached on that. The Lord has sent this word. I would have never found that in that part of the scripture had he not revealed it unto me. And I wouldn't understand it that way had he not given it. But that's not as far as it has to go. When it comes out of whomever brings it and it gets in here and you begin to use it, then it is fulfilled. Because God will go forth and fight your battles. All that you've got to fight for while you're here tonight is to get peace again. And if you have the peace of God, it said, the peace of God shall surpass all understanding. Even when you try to comprehend why, peace says it doesn't matter. Even when you try to wonder why they even did it to you to begin with, the peace of God says it doesn't matter. Because I'm going to fight that battle. I'm going to take care of you. He blesses whom he respects and who he finds pleasing. He's going to rapture a body one day that he finds pleasing. And that body will be not only enjoying their life, but they'll be looking for him. I don't think the church today is looking for the coming of the Lord anymore. We're just looking for that next thing to happen. But I'm looking for him. I'm content. I'm longing to be there. I'm looking for his appearing. And I feel like that I'm going to be a part of that day. But while I'm here, I'm not going to show you my weakness. I'm not going to waste your time with my little humps and bumps and rolls and everything that makes me who I am. But I'm going to preach to you that in spite of my weakness, I can still do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.